Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Welcome, everybody, to the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast, where we just try to give you a little more insight into the church and things that happen around here that maybe don't happen on a platform on a Sunday or get a whole lot of visibility on a regular basis, but you know, are part of the church and help us just to understand the bigger picture of what's happening. And today, I have somebody in the podcast studio here to introduce you to, and he and his family have been a part of the church for a while. They also oversee something that really was birthed out of a desire here in Washington Heights called InterVarsity. But before we talk about that program, let me introduce you to Mac Smith. Mac, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. It's great to be here, and I think back to how InterVarsity got started here. You kind of touched on that, and our family came in 2007. At that time, our youngest, Gabe, was 2 years old, and we found Washington Heights became our church home, and really just so thankful for the ways that the church, you know, kind of helped launch ministry to college students and has been a ministry to our family. I was, Amy and I have been talking about Hudson, our youngest now, is in sixth grade, and today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Hudson.
Yay!
Yay! but we were saying how thankful we are for Andrew Moore, who's been his youth pastor and just done a phenomenal job just reaching out and caring for Hudson. So we're really thankful for Washington Heights in a number of ways.
Well, and you are part of making Washington Heights, you know, happen as well. So thank you for being a part of that. And a little bit about you and your background, where are you from and things like that?
Yep. So I grew up in Federal Way, Washington. So left the Pacific Northwest, went down to Arizona for college for a couple years, played football, got a scholarship to play football at UNLV, and that's actually where Amy and I met in InterVarsity back in 1996, so a long time ago now.
Long time, yes.
We were married in January 3rd, 1998, and moved to Reno after that to restart InterVarsity in that area. And so we did ministry at the University of Nevada for 9 years together, and just love college students, love that time in life where I think people have said the cement hasn't dried yet on their values and their vision and who they are as people. And it's such a critical time in a person's life to figure out who they're going to be, what they're going to believe. And so that ministry caught my heart. And the idea that you can have an impact on a person's life at a time when they're making so many decisions.
And we'll talk more about that culture and where they are in this day. Just kind of a random thing that I know you played football at UNLV.
Yes.
And I saw a video clip of you intercepting Peyton Manning when he's at the University of Tennessee.
My claim to fame. It was a great day. Yeah, that was actually my first major college football game. Went to junior college in Arizona. And went to UNLV, started on the defensive line. And so my first game was at the University of Tennessee when they were ranked number 3 in the country. So they smoked us, but I came out of there with an interception.
You showed Peyton who's boss.
He knows now.
He did okay his career. He's all right. But on to other things. So InterVarsity, just kind of give us a picture. What is that, you know, just by the name, it's hard to figure out exactly what that
is. Yeah, InterVarsity actually started in England at the University of Cambridge and the University of Oxford. And so the British term for university is varsities. And so inter is the Latin word meaning between. So it's actually a Christian fellowship between universities is the meaning of our name. So from the beginning, our focus has been to help students engage the Bible, to know God's word, to know God and have a relationship with him, and to let that relationship kind of live itself out on campus and reaching out and caring for other people. In the early days, you couldn't have an intervarsity chapter without a daily prayer meeting. So spiritual disciplines, a commitment to growing personally, not just trying to grow a ministry, but to grow personally and be a lifelong disciple.
Not grow in numbers necessarily, but grow in depth.
Yeah, and so that's always been a focus for InterVarsity. InterVarsity got its start in the U.S. in 1941 at the University of Michigan. And it was really at a time when universities were moving in a more secular direction, less kind of a Christian atmosphere and more of a secular atmosphere. And so InterVarsity saw the need for groups like this to be on campus, to be a witness to the campus, to help not only Christian students but non-Christian students experience the grace and love of God and to grow in that relationship. So that's what InterVarsity is about, is helping college students on every corner of every campus experience God and His love for them.
Wow. And back when we made the call to InterVarsity and they sent us you and Amy, which we are so thrilled and thankful for, you were overseeing the ministry at the Weber State campus.
Right.
Correct. And so give us a little bit of a picture. What happened in those years that you were overseeing that?
Yeah. So we saw tremendous growth at Weber State. I think it grew to, 150 students overall. We had 10 to 12 small groups meeting weekly, just a lot of students that were actively involved and growing in their faith. And so that was fun just to be a part of that season. And in 2015, Amy and I kind of took on the co-area director role for InterVarsity. So now we oversee ministry on campuses throughout Utah. So University of Utah, Westminster College, Utah State University, Weber State. We actually even oversee ministry in Southern Idaho, so Boise State right now. And we're trying to get ministry going more in Southern Idaho.
Can you talk to them about their blue turf on
the
football field?
Yeah. My eyes I'm a big Bronco fan. I'm not sure if you know that. Roy, I think I've told you once
anyway.
Or twice.
We love you anyway.
It's part of their lore. Helps them win games.
Smurf turf, come on.
You can't find them,
Yeah, they wear blue uniforms. Yeah, that's got to be unfair somehow. I don't know.
It is cheating. But...
So now you oversee a whole region. So that's a big shift in role for you.
Yes.
And that includes Weber State. So if somebody now is either at Weber State or headed there, or they have a family member who's listening to this whenever they are, and the question comes up, so if I participate in InterVarsity right now at Weber State, what is available to them through that ministry?
Yeah, I think it's a great time to get involved right now. The chapter at Weber State, I don't know if you remember, we bought a ministry house. InterVarsity purchased a ministry house in 2017. That house is now this amazing community. It's a 11-bedroom, 6,500-square-foot home that kind of houses all of a lot of our activities and now with COVID, and we're kind of reduced in what we can do on campus. So we've had to move a lot to the house. Right now, they're kind of meeting outside for Bible studies. So if a student got involved, they would get involved in a small group Bible study. We would, right now, they're studying Luke, I think. So we during the fall, we always go through a gospel. In the spring, maybe we'll do one of Paul's letters. And we always stay focused on God's word and helping students jump into God's word. It's not a lecture. I love our small groups because they're interactive. So everyone gets to participate and it's a discussion. And so I think that's really where learning takes place. I don't know if this is true or not, but there's a quote that says, you remember 90% of what you say and 10% of what you hear. And so if you can verbalize your faith, you're more likely to embrace it and remember it. So we try to help students verbalize their faith. Small groups help them verbalize God's word and kind of wrestle with what's God saying in this passage and have critical question and conversation about the passage that's before us. And so I think it's really helpful to teach students how to do that. And that's a lifelong skill that they can take with them.
Wow. And you know, every culture and every generation has its challenges, right? And they're not all the same. And you said you started back in 96, and I would imagine even between 96 and now, culture's changed, yeah. Challenges are a little different. What would you say right now, people who are at that college age, men, women, what are the main issues that they're facing?
Loneliness. I think social media has been a great lie. You know, it promises more connection, but it really doesn't add up to that. It doesn't fulfill that for students. I think we're seeing, even in this time now, add that social media now to COVID and kind of all the restrictions and quarantining, and we're seeing people just that are so hungry to just have a place and a real connection with people. So at the University of Utah, Chasen and Kelly, who are staff down there, they're seeing, I mean, it's the largest it's ever been, InterVarsity at the U. They had over 60 students come to their large group meeting. It's outside on the porch at the InterVarsity house.
Awesome.
And they're just, they're taking 49 students to fall conference.
Wow.
And Weber's taking about 25. So that kind of shows you where the ministries are at. Weber's really rebuilding. The U started rebuilding last year. So I think, and in this time of people are, ministries are trying to figure out how to connect. I think we actually used social media to try to connect with people, but we did it in a incarnational way, meaning we tried to put flesh on it. We tried to connect personally with people over Instagram. Mm-hmm. So we had an Instagram campaign. If people followed us, we direct messaged them and kind of started a conversation. And so I think, and people love that. They don't want to just be advertised to. They want to be connected with. Hmm. And so I think what InterVarsity is really trying to do is connect personally with students and help them connect personally with God, you know. And yeah. And out of that, I think it has – it's what students are – it's, I think it's the core thing students need, yeah. is personal connection.
And that sounds like it's something not just for students. I mean, I happen to know you're part of a small group here,
yes.
at Washington
yes.
Heights. Talk a little bit about what happens in that group.
Oh, man. I love our small group. It's been a home for us, and really important friendships there. I get a little emotional just thinking about how much I love those folks. And we've been together for, I think, 6 or 7 years now. And we've been meeting every week and going through hard conversations, a lot of great conversations about faith and life and how do we do that together in community. We've been there for each other. There's just funny ways we're together too. All the guys do this. Jeremy John kind of gets us all working out together, you know, and he cracks the whip. And so
he's like 6'6", 4% body fat, makes me sick.
I always feel real bad around him. I got this extra layer. Me and Brian Lopez are always kind of
prep for the winter, right?
Commiserating together. Oh no, Jeremy's diet. It's coming up again. But no, I love those guys. They're family, you know? And yeah. I think that, that's a picture of what we need in the church.
So, yeah, and so it's a human need, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like it is such an acute need for students. And
yes.
is that because, you know, so many of the other, pillars that supported, you know, people in past generations, like, say, for instance, the nuclear family.
Right.
And some other yeah. things in society aren't there as much anymore.
Right.
Certainly there are examples of where it is. But there are many places where it is not. And so does it seem like the need for community and connection is heightened because there's an absence of that connection in other places?
Yeah, I feel like there's pendulum swings, right, in culture. And we think the answer's over here in this. And we swing way over that direction and find, oh, that's not satisfying. That doesn't really meet the need. And I think students have swung over that direction of like high individualism, you know, chasing after success. Maybe I don't need my family, or like just, yeah. you know, the brokenness that's in our world. And they're not finding the answers on the other side. And so I often feel like, can we meet them on the other, as the fulcrum comes the other way? Because it's going to fall, you know? They pendulum that way. They're going to fall back this way, and let's be ready to meet them. And I think that's really where InterVarsity is right now. It's we have the most staff we've ever had. The ministry's the largest it's ever been cumulatively across the Wasatch Front. Ministry on every campus is growing. We have staff that are coming and joining us. So it's just kind of an exciting time. And, you know, we love college students. We want to see them just connect with the Lord. So,
Well, I know a lot rises and falls on leadership. So the fact that it is growing, I think, says a lot about the leadership that is involved, including you and Amy. And why don't you mention Amy's role? So Amy's your wife, and she has also been involved in a significant leadership role in this area.
I think she is the kind of the key to why we've had she's such an extraordinary leader. I think without Amy, she's kind of a backbone type leader, just strong, great vision. I think she, you know, I think I'm more loud and vocal and people see me, you know, but and really it may be a mistake that is because, you know, maybe growth or, but really it, Amy has been the glue that has been for our area, you know, our kids' lives. I just think she's an amazing mom, you know, and so she's does great in every area and excels. So
she is very, very gifted.
Yeah.
And to see you two both exercise the leadership gifts you have, you know, hers seems to be around vision and team building and that. And,
And
she just makes great calls. And I've been invited to do a couple football chapels over at Weber State. And as I'm standing there and watching you on the sideline, everybody knows Mac. And so you're gift is kind of in a relational arena there, right? And, and has really produced a lot of fruit with just nurturing those relationships. And it's not a right or wrong, right? It's just
different. We're gifted in different ways
of a leadership gift. All of it is producing, you know, a harvest.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing to say. If we can find the place where we're passionate about, you know, what God's uniquely gifted us to do, and we're released to do that, and we work within a team, we can really see some amazing things. Yeah. And shout out to Weber State football. Love those guys.
Go Wildcats.
Want to see them play?
Yeah.
Miss those guys.
Not this fall, but hopefully in the springtime.
Soon,
and
very soon.
They are building a dynasty here in the mountain or in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
And love it. Love it.
So fun to be a part of.
Well, Mac, what is one lesson that you would look to recently that you might say, you know, here's a lesson I've been learning? And that's a wide open question, not about just InterVarsity. Maybe it's there, but maybe not.
Sure.
But what have you been learning?
Yeah. I think slowing down and living. I think as you get a little older, you realize it's not just about your effort. And really, it wasn't when I was younger, but you could kind of rely on your tenacity or your, you know, go get them to get you through. But I think at this point in my life, I'm kind of resting into God's rest and his peace. I was just listening to a little devotional and it was talking about the unhurried life and Jesus, where he says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And something I'd never notice is there's still a yoke. Yoke is a term of like kind of work, you know, it's kind of, you know, tilling a field. It's put on oxen to kind of till the field. But there's a yoke that we can wear that's quite heavy when we're carrying it on our own. But Jesus says, no, take my yoke upon you. And it's this partnership, walking with God kind of mentality. So,
yeah, grace. I once heard this. Grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And there's a difference between those two things.
Yeah.
And following Jesus has some effort, but he says,
yeah,
we can do it because, you know, I'm here with you.
Yeah.
Rather than you doing it on your own. And when you talk about what you're reading, and I'm going to take a stab here, is that John Mark Comer?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mac and I share an affinity for...
Love that guy.
He's a pastor up in the Portland area, and I listen to his podcast and read what he writes. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of good there.
He's a great voice. Mm-hmm. I think that we can lean in. You know, if you haven't listened, you know, if you're a listener and you haven't listened to his podcast, check
Absolutely.
That out. I'd say one more thing I'm learning. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot, and this is kind of the theme verse for InterVarsity right now for this year. It's Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And I've been thinking about that, and I've been so thankful for Washington Heights to do justice. I think about what you guys did for Navajo Nation, for Haiti, God's Garage. You know, there's so many ways that this church does justice, serves and loves and lifts people up. And so I've been so thankful for that example. And I think a lot of times doing justice can lead into an activism without action. And I think about the other two parts of that: love mercy, walk humbly with God. And I've just been kind of reflecting on that. If you have this humility about your faith and your walk with God, I think it really helps. You know, you have your due justice, you're active in your faith, but you walk humbly with God. You don't sprint. You're not going to get there ahead of time. You can't do it without a journey with God. And mercy is required all along the way.
And boy, don't we live in a day where, you know, whether it's on social media or live in person, there's a lot of bravado and I think a lot of false bravado. I wonder if humility speaks more powerfully and loudly than all the bravado.
It's what we need right now. There's so much division in our country. And I think humble walk with God, if Christians can model that humbly walking with God, if that's infused in, and I think that's part of slowing down and connecting with Jesus, because I think I was just talking to Amy about that this morning, and she was reflecting on how she's been learning, you know, when she starts her day centered around her relationship with God, it flows out into the way she reacts and, you know, kind of connects to the world around us. And so I think if we can walk with more humility, that's helpful.
Yeah. And it's easy to talk about whether it's justice or mercy or humility, right? It's easy to talk about it.
Yes.
But boy, if there ever was a day to live that and to make that real, boy, could that, I think, make a profound difference.
Please,
in our
Lord.
Day. And start with me, right?
Yeah, starts right here.
Well, Mac, thank you for doing this. Thank you
Thanks,
for
Roy.
All you do for college students, and you and Amy and your boys have been a gift to us here. And so
you guys
so
have been a gift to us.
You.
We love our church family.
So. Well, the feeling is mutual. Well, I'll say goodbye to you, Mac, and to everybody listening. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope that you join us next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.